Voices and Faces from the Collection. The narrative excerpts presented here are a small sample of the wealth of stories available in this online collection. Some narratives contain startling descriptions of cruelty, while others convey an almost nostalgic view of plantation life. These narratives provide an invaluable first-person account of slavery and the individuals it affected. The narrative excerpts presented here are a small sample of the wealth of stories available in this online collection. Some narratives contain startling descriptions of cruelty, while others convey an almost nostalgic view of plantation life. These narratives provide an invaluable first-person account of slavery and the individuals it affected. Although the African Americans who lived under slavery are no longer with us, their experiences remain due to these interviews recorded in the late 1930s by the Federal Writers Project. John W. Fields, age 89. John W. Fields. In most of us colored folks was the great desire to be able to read and write. We took advantage of every opportunity to educate ourselves. The greater part of the plantation owners were very harsh if we were caught trying to learn or write. It was the law that if a white man was caught trying to educate a Negro slave, he was liable to prosecution entailing a fine of $50 and a jail sentence. We were never allowed to go to town, and it was not until after I ran away that I knew that they sold anything but slaves, tobacco, and whiskey. Our ignorance was the greatest hold the South had on us. We knew we could run away, but what then? An offender guilty of this crime was subjected to very harsh punishment. Read the rest of this narrative. Sarah Frances Shaw Graves, age 87. Sarah Frances Shaw Graves. I was born March 23, 1850 in Kentucky, somewhere near Louisville. I am going on 88 years right now. 1937. I was brought to Missouri when I was 6 months old, along with my mama, who was a slave owned by a man named Shaw, who had allotted her to a man named Jimmy Graves, who came to Missouri to live with his daughter Emily Graves Crowds. I always lived with Emily Crowds. The matter of allotment was confusing to the interviewer, and Aunt Sally endeavored to explain. Yes'm. Allotted? Yes'm. I'm going to explain that, she replied. You see, there was slave traders in those days, just like you got horse and mule and auto traders now. They bought and sold slaves and hired them out. Yes'm, rented them out. Allotted means something like hired out. But the slave never got no wages. That all went to the master. The man they was allotted to paid the master. I was never sold. My mama was sold only once, but she was hired out many times. Yes, and when a slave was allotted, somebody made a down payment and gave a mortgage for the rest. A chattel mortgage. Allotments made a lot of grief for the slaves, Aunt Sally asserted. We left my papa in Kentucky, 'cause he was allotted to another man. My papa never knew where my mama went, and my mama never knew where papa went. Aunt Sally paused a moment, then went on bitterly. They never wanted mama to know, 'cause they knowed she would never marry so long she knew where he was. Our master wanted her to marry again and raise more children to be slaves. They never wanted mama to know where papa was, and she never did, sighed Aunt Sally. Read the rest of this narrative. Sarah Gudger, age 121. Sarah Gudger. I members de time when ma mammy wa alive, I wa a small chili, a fo a day tuck ha tea rims crick. All us chillens wa playin in de yed one night. Jess a runnin' and a playin' lak chillin' will. All a sudden mammy come to de do all ossited. Come in here dis minute, she say. Jess look up at what is a happenin', and bless yo life, honey, dos does wa fallin jess lak rain. Mammy wa tevil scared, but we chillen want to feared, no, we want to feared. But mammy she say eva time a stuff all, somebody gonna die. Look lak lot of folks gonna die from de looks of dem stuz. A bathin wa jess as bright as day. Yo cut a pick a pin up. Yo know de stuz don shine as bright as day did back den. I wonder why day don. Day just don shine as bright. One long afo a day took ma mammy away, and I wa left alone. One of the most spectacular meteoric showers on record, visible all over North America, occurred in 1833. Read the rest of this narrative. Charlie Williams, age 94. Charlie Williams and granddaughter. When the day begin to crack, the whole plantation break out with all kinds of noises, and you could tell what going on by the kind of noise you hear. Come to daybreak, you hear de guinea fowls start patracking down at the edge of de woods lot, and den de roosters all start up round de barn, and de ducks finally wake up and jine in. You can smell de sow belly frying down at the cabins in de row, to go in de hoe cake and de buttermilk. Den pretty soon de wind rise a little, and you can hear old bell donging way on some plantation a mile or two off, and den more bells at other places and maybe a horn. And pretty soon yonder go old master's old ram horn with a long toot and den some short toot, and here come the overseer down de row of cabins, hollering right and left, and picking de ham out in his teeth with a long shiny goose quill pick. Bells and horns. Bells for dis and horns for dat. All we knowed was go and come by de bells and horns. Read the rest of this narrative. James Cape, age over 100. James Cape. I's born in yonder southeast Texas, and I don't know what month or de year for show, but 'twas more dan 100 years ago. My mammy and pappy was born in Africa, dat's what dey's told me. Dey was owned by Marster Bob Houston, and him had a ranch down dere, har dey have cattle and hosses. When I's old enough to set on de hoss, dey learned me to ride, tendin' hosses. 'Cause I's good hoss rider. Dey uses me all the time gwine after hosses. I goes with dem to Mexico. We crosses de river lots of times. I members once when we was a drivin' bout 200 hosses northards. Dey was a bad hailstorm comes into de face of de herd, and dat herd turns and starts de other way. Dere was five of us riders, and we had to keep dem hosses from scatterment. I was de leader, and do you know what happens to dis nigger if my hoss stumbles? Right there's har I'd still be. Marster give me a new saddle for saving de hosses. Read the rest of this narrative. Tempe Cummins, age unknown. Tempe Cummins. The white chillen tries teach me to read and write, but I didn't learn much, 'cause I allus workin'. Mother was workin' in the house, and she cooked too. She say she used to hide in the chimney corner and listen to what the white folks say. When freedom was cleared, Marster would and tell 'em, but mother she hear 'em tellin' mistress that the slaves was free, but they didn't know it, and he's not gwine to tell 'em till he makes another crop or two. When mother hear that, she say she slip out the chimney corner and crack her heels together four times and shouts, "I's free, I's free." Then she runs to the field, gains master's will and toll all the other slaves, and they quit work. Then she run away, and in the night she slip into a big ravine near the house and have them bring me to her. Master, he come out with his gun and shot at mother, but she run down the ravine and gets away with me. Read the rest of this narrative. William Moore, age 82. William Moore. Some Sundays we went to church someplace. We allus liked to go any place. A white preacher allus told us to obey our masters and work hard and sing, and when we die we go to heaven. Marse Tom didn't mind us singin' in our cabins at night, but we better not let him coach us prayin'. Seems like niggers just got to pray. Half they life am in prayin'. Some nigger take turn bout to watch and see if Marse Tom anyways bout, then they circle theyselves on the floor in the cabin and pray. They get to moanin' low and gentle, "Someday, someday, someday, this yoke gwine be lifted off in our shoulders. Marse Tom been dead long time now. I leave he's in hell. Seem like that where he long. He was a terrible mean man and had a indifferent, mean wife. But he had the fines, sweetest chillen the Lord ever let live and breathe on this earth. They's so kind and sorrowin' over us slaves. Some them chillen used to read us lil things out of papers and books. We'd look at them papers and books like they something mighty curious, but we better not let Marse Tom or his wife know it. Read the rest of this narrative. Walter Rim, age 80. Walter Rim. My pappy wasn't afraid of nothing. He am light-colored from de white blood, and he runs away several times. Dear am big woods all round and we sees lots of runawares. One old fellow named John been a runaware for 4 years and a patterollers tries all day tricks, but day can't coach him. Day wants him bad, cause it spire other slaves to run away if he stays a-loose. Day sots to trap for him. Day knows he like good eats, so day ranges for a quiltin' and gives chitlins in lie hominy. John comes and am inside when de patterollers rides up to de door. Everybody gets quiet and John strands near de door, and when day starts to come in he grabs de shovel full of hot ashes and throws dem into de patterollers' faces. He gets through and runs off, hollering, bird in de air. One woman named Rhody runs off for long spell. De hounds won't hunt her. She steals hot light bread when day puts it in de window to cool, and lives on dat. She told my mammy how to keep de hounds from following you is to take black pepper and put it in you socks and run without you shoes. It make de hounds sneeze. One day I's in de woods and meets de nigger runaware. He comes to de cabin and mammy makes him a bacon and egg sandwich and we never seed him again. Maybe he done got clear to Mexico, where a lot of de slaves runs to. Patterollers, patrollers, were white men who served on local patrols organized throughout the South to control the movement of slaves outside their home plantations. Patrollers police their neighborhoods by challenging any slave whom they suspected of being away from home to produce a written pass, or authorization, from his or her master. Slaves found without a pass were subject to arrests, beatings, or other forms of violence, some of which led to death. Light bread is leavened bread made with wheat flour. Where the rest of the country simply says bread, Southerners often say light bread or, less commonly, loaf bread, to refer to bread made of wheat flour and leavened with yeast. Contrary to what Northerners might think, light bread is not a synonym for white bread. Light refers not to the color of the bread but to the yeast that lightens it, so light bread can be whole wheat or white. Light bread or loaf bread contrasts instead with pon or corn pone, bread made with cornmeal and usually unleavened. Source: American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 4th edition, New York, Houghton Mifflin, 2000. Read the rest of this narrative.